everyone.
Thank you all very much for being here. Welcome to the Board of Public Works. I want to start out by saying last week the comptroller and I were invited to go to a forum in Salisbury put on by the Greater Salisbury Committee. And the main topic was about bipartisanship and how it is that we're able to get things done together in the Board of Public Works. We come from different parties and we don't always agree on everything philosophically, but that we put aside the partisanship and try to get the people's business done. And I just want to thank the comptroller for the event last week and thank both of my colleagues here on the Board of Public Works, because we do work together very well and we try not to get the hyper-partisanship to affect the decisions here. And I just want to thank everybody for the cooperation we've had for the past 3 years. You know, as you know, all of our proceedings here at the Board of Public Works are live streamed. In fact, I'll wave to the camera here, this little thing here. Good morning, everybody at home. And the vast majority of all the state legislatures in the country, their proceedings are live streamed, and they're also, they archive the videos of their proceedings. Now, unfortunately, the Maryland legislature continues to resist that kind of openness and lags behind the rest of the country. So as part of our ethics package, we proposed the Legislative Transparency Act of 2017, which would finally bring the Maryland General Assembly in line with the majority of the state legislatures in the country and would provide the same level of transparency that we provide to the citizens of Maryland here at the BPW. Unfortunately, we're now just about halfway through legislative session, and in spite of overwhelming bipartisan support for this legislation, the bill hasn't even yet been scheduled for a hearing in the House of Delegates. So we are hopeful that Speaker Bush will follow his colleagues in the Senate and immediately schedule a hearing on this important piece of legislation. Look, I know there's some concerns. There may be some concern about last week with President Miller's recent use of profane language on the floor of the House, describing one of our transportation officials. But we're willing to amend the bill to include like a 7-second delay. And built into the video stream, and perhaps add one of those viewer discretion advised labels, and maybe we'll to warn that watching the legislature may not be suitable for younger viewers. But at this point, I'd like to turn the floor over to my colleagues, Mr. Comptroller.
No, Governor, thank you very much. I'm very pleased to announce that my office is now accepting nominations for the William Donald Schaefer Helping People Award, which recognizes Marylanders and organizations that embody Governor Schaefer's legendary commitment to serving the people. Throughout his 50 years of service to the state of Maryland, Governor Schaefer was known for his do-it-now approach, and he firmly believed that government must always be responsive to the needs of its citizens and that everyone had a responsibility and a duty to make our communities stronger. Since we established this award in 2012, we've traveled across our great state. We've met dozens of Marylanders who carry on the legacy that Governor Schaefer left behind. And in a time when the newspapers and cable shows seem to only highlight the bad things that are happening in the world, this award and its worthy recipients remind us of the generosity and the kindness that are present in every community across our state. Recipients of the Schaefer Award will be selected on their demonstration of improving the community, promptly responding to a citizen problem through effective government intervention, directly aiding our most vulnerable population, or establishing a public-private partnership to improve the lives of fellow Marylanders. Nominations are being accepted until March 31st, can be submitted by visiting our website, marylandtaxes.com. And if I could just thank the governor for coming to Salisbury on the 13th, I thought the conversation, so to speak, that we had with Mike Dunn, the head of the Greater Salisbury Committee, being the person in the middle, I think it's exactly what the public is thirsty for, which is elected officials, regardless of party or philosophy, putting down their clubs and governing and not campaigning 24/7. And down there in Salisbury, there were 200 people jammed into a room that only holds 125. They're all the leading people of the Lower Shore. There were people lined up all out the door and down Division Street trying to get in. And, you know, the governor gave me a hard time on a couple of things, like reminded me that I called for his resignation years ago. But
I probably called for yours too.
Yeah. And, I think it's an example of what our voters deserve and expect. And I would urge that the hyper-partisans on the Republican side and on the Democratic side just wake up. This is not their message of constant conflict, tearing people down, yelling at the other side. That is not what 90% of the public in the middle want. And I hope that a better day is coming. And but I just wanted to personally thank the governor for coming down and making that event possible. And now we're getting invitations, frankly, from all over the state to come over and try to sell true bipartisanship.
Well, thank you. We started out with our first event in Montgomery County, and it was such a hit that I think the comptroller said we should take the show on the road. And now every county wants to have us come talk. We've got to bring you with us next time.
Okay. Yeah. Shows on the
road. Yeah. That would be a very good thing. I'd love to have the treasurer join us.
Madam Treasurer.
I'm glad to hear it was a successful and a pleasant event. And I actually think there's nothing wrong with campaigning either, which is reaching out to the to the people. Let me only say for the record, in case folks don't know, the committee meetings in both the House and the Senate are televised, and you can hear them live and archived. And the floor sessions also are on record. You can hear them live or archived. The only question, I believe, is television cameras.
We're one of the only states in the country that doesn't allow you to watch.
Actually, most states don't have the committee meetings, as you know, which was a great step forward that was taken by the legislature some time ago. And I, for one, am one of those junkies, actually, who sits at my desk and watches committee meetings.
I think you're the only one.
Well, I don't know. There are 16 people who watch us, so there's probably someone else who watches the committee. Governor, good morning. It's good to be here.
Let's go ahead and get started with the Secretary's agenda. Good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 12 items on the Secretary's agenda. We have two reports of emergency procurements. We are withdrawing item 2 and withdrawing item 12 today.
Any questions on the Secretary's agenda? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. Move on to the DNR real property agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Comptroller. Good morning. For the record, I'm Mark Bell, the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. So we have 4 items on our agenda for your approval this morning.
Thank you. Any questions on DNR? Nope. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
This is going to be an easy, fast meeting, sounds like. 3-0 on DNR. Up next is DVM, Department of Budget and Management.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. The Department has submitted 6 items for today's agenda. I have representatives here to address any concerns or questions you may have.
Any questions on DVM?
No. Move approval.
Second, 3-0 on. What did we do? We're on a roll here. Let's move on to the university system.
I will.
Good morning, Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland.
Excuse me, Mr. Evans. We need some
Governor, we have one modification. We did remove item 2 on the agenda. So the other 5 items you just voted on. That's it.
Very good. Well, so the motion will change. We don't have any questions on the one you removed either.
Good.
Good morning, Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 1 item on the agenda.
Wow, I think that's the first time you had 1 item done.
Only mine.
Any questions on university system? Motion. Second. 3-0.
Thank you.
Mr. Fanning, 1,000. We're going to move on to information technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Comptroller. For the record, I'm Albert Bullock, Assistant Secretary for Administration at the Department of Information Technology. Today we have three items on the agenda. One item is a supplemental, one is a hand carried, and I have agency representatives for any questions you may have.
Questions on IT? Motion.
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. Next we have the Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Governor, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, my name is Jim Ports, Deputy Secretary for the Maryland Department of Transportation. We are presenting seven items today for your consideration, and I'll be pleased to answer any questions you may have.
Well, Mr. Ports, you're going to ruin our perfect record.
Thank you.
I have a question on item one.
Sure.
Mr. Ports, could you introduce your agenda again? How many items do you have, and are you
seven?
Seven, and are you withdrawing item eight?
Well, it was a walk-on, right?
Okay, so you're not. So we have seven items, and I have eight items. So I just don't know what makes seven.
We're withdrawing item eight.
You are withdrawing item. Thank you.
Was it on the agenda?
I didn't think we had to withdraw since it was a walk.
It was on the agenda.
Or if we didn't present it.
Okay. But you didn't support it.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's not right. Yeah.
Well, we look forward to seeing item 8 come back.
We've got to bring it back pretty quickly.
In time.
Yep.
In the appropriate time.
This was just a little technical glitch by the Attorney General's office, I think. So on this item number one, it's a $2.5 million single bid contract, right? For a wash bay at your Frederick County maintenance facility, and our backup materials state that non-bidding firms cited that time concerns and other project obligations was the reason why nobody else bid. And I guess my question, because you've done it in the past, and obviously that's always a concern of ours, why didn't you go back out for a second RFP to get more competition, as you did with the highway lighting repair and maintenance in item four? And just was curious as to why would we have to have a single bid? I'm not necessarily opposed to the item. I just wanted an explanation.
Sure. That's no problem. So our procurement team did, as you mentioned, went back and tried to find out why people didn't solicit or didn't propose a bid. And you see what they said. But one of the other things we were fighting is this is a wash bay. And right now it's two things. One is environmental. So we want to be environmentally compliant. And we don't want to be out of compliance environmentally. So that's one portion. And the other portion is operationally, the wash bay that we currently have does not fit the vehicles that we need to wash, so we have to pull them in, wash half of them, turn them around, wash the other half. And so between the operational concerns and the inefficiencies, as well as the environmental issues, we thought we would still bring it forward in hopes that it would be approved. But, we understand the single bid. We get that. And
you even extended maybe the bidding period.
We did.
For more than a month to get. I'm just wondering if in the future could we, when we're planning, projects, is there a process that we can? I think everybody said it's too late. We're already busy. Like, can't we start earlier in the process? I mean, it's a bid, so that maybe more people will participate. Is that something that? We won't have a single bidder because everybody says we can't do it in that short period of time.
Absolutely. And as you know, we've been looking at our procurement process as well as everybody else around the state,
sure.
Lieutenant Governor. And we are trying to make these changes as we go along. SHA has been one of those where we had particular problems with some of the A&E contracts taking a long time, and we're still trying to just catch up on all that stuff that, quite frankly, we inherited. So we're getting there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you. Let's keep working on it because
Sure.
I have one more item, but let's talk about it.
I didn't even notice this item, frankly, but I will just...
Thanks, Governor.
He's really slipping, you know. This is an issue that he has.
So I just want to applaud the governor for bringing it up, number one. Number two, I've been in his position dozens of times over the my tenure as comptroller where you don't want to interfere. There are seemingly plausible reasons. There are companies that say, well, we didn't have enough time or we were too busy, so that's the reason the single bid is in front of us. I appreciate the governor and lieutenant governor and the legislators working on procurement reform. It's not going to be worth the paper it's printed on if we don't start turning these single bid contracts down. Just won't. And that's kind of a conclusion I've reached after 10 years. I'm going to go along with this because I have a lot of respect for Mr. Ports, and obviously the governor is wanting to, you know, these are his agencies, so I'm not interested in
we try to hold our guys in fire. We don't, yeah. We don't let up on them, do we?
But I am you know, beyond debate on these contracts, except for very limited circumstances where public safety is involved. But
I think it's one of the main discussions that the Lieutenant Governor Procurement Task Force, and we'll all come up with, or different agencies have ideas, and we're going to try to improve the process. So let me just go on to one more item while I have you, since we were having such an easy time with her. Item number four.
Good morning. My name is Reverend Janelle Bruce, and I'm a member of Progressive Maryland. We delivered a letter to you, Dr. Logan, on February 3rd.
Okay, well, with all due respect, it's we're in the middle of a hearing.
I'm here to ask you to speak up about not repealing the Affordable Care Act. My daughter, who is 9, was born in 2000.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for being here. But we're in the middle of a hearing, and this is off topic. Would you like to maybe at the end of the hearing speak so you don't interrupt the process? Okay. Well, actually, I've been providing tremendous leadership on this issue. I called.
No, that's not true.
I actually called together both of our two U.S. senators and all of our congressmen into this very office, and I talked about four of our highest priorities in Washington, and this was at the very top of the issue. I said. I haven't seen the letter, but we did write a letter to Washington. We did talk with all of our representatives, and I do have a position, but this is inappropriate for you to be talking about this issue. I think we're going to have to. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Okay, Mr. Ports, on item number four. Okay, great. I don't have a problem with this item. But I noticed that there's a huge disparity between the bidders. The first two vendors submitted bids under $500,000, while the third bidder submitted a bid of $82 million. And that's a difference of more than 1,000%. I'm assuming this is a typo. Is that?
It is not a typo. I think they got us mixed up with a lottery agency. I'm just kidding. They actually did their math incorrectly, I'll be honest with you. It was an issue that our folks in procurement tried to work with them to rectify. Unfortunately, the way that they did it, they could not rectify it. So what we have asked, and trust me, we meet all the time and tell our folks the same thing. And when I saw this, I raised the same question, how can this be so out of whack? And so what we asked our SHA folks to do, our procurement folks, is to go back and work with this small business, it's a smaller business, and do two things. One, see if they can be certified as a small business so that we can help more of our procurements go to smaller businesses through the small business reserve. And two, work with them on how to properly submit a proposal so that their math is correct. So we've asked them to go back and work with this firm. They admit they screwed up.
Well, so, I mean, that was for a very straight-shooting guy who usually is a straight talker like me. It sounded like a bunch of gobbledygook. What's the difference between $500,000 and $82 million? I don't get it.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Which one is correct? The math wrong?
Which one is correct? The $500,000 or the $82
million? I have one more thing to say. I'm also a representative of Progressive Maryland. I'm
American woman. I'm a constituent of yours, and I'm concerned because as a survivor of domestic violence and also having trouble with police accountability, I was involved in getting the law signed into action on October 1st this past year. I'm concerned that under the Trump administration, we are not going to have women are going to be treated badly in this country, and you're not going to stand up for us.
I don't think that's
strength,
it's really not true.
Now, we need you to stand up strong to the Trump administration, because when they say stuff like, when our president is saying stuff like grab women by the pussy, women are in danger in this country. We need you to stand up for us.
Okay, on the $82 million, Mr. Ford.
Governor, before we go forward, let me just say, we do have an agenda, and there's time for people to speak at the end. I agree with that completely. And I'm pleased to hear that you met with our delegation and told them how important the ACA is. I think,
as a matter of fact, this weekend I'm going to be 4 days in Washington with the National Governors Association, and this is one of the main topics we'll be discussing.
It's not very important.
Still in the middle of a discussion about transportation.
But it is important to speak out for your constituents as well as to meet with them.
I feel like I'm speaking out for my constituents every single day.
So I'm going to continue to do so,
but I think the people elected me to do a job here in Maryland, which we're focused on. I didn't run for president, and they didn't hire me to protest every day against everything that they do in Washington.
But we have
10 representatives in Washington who I met with to make sure they do their job.
And that's very important.
Just one last one. Just in case you did not receive our letter, I'd like to give you a copy of that letter. There are 1,000 signatures attached to it, and we really need to speak out for us. We're concerned about the
ma'am, you need to back up the speaker's line, please.
We're concerned about immigration policies, of what's happening to the folks in our state, the raids that are going on, the apparent Muslim ban. We need you to speak out for us.
Okay, thank you very much for your views, and we'll take a look at your letter.
Thank you.
Mr. Forks.
Okay. Eric, I think I'll go as far as I can on this issue. Maybe you can explain some of the technical details on the maps.
Yeah. Good morning, Governor Hogan. Eric Lomboy, Director of Procurement at SSA. On this particular bid, there were line items that were supposed to be multiplied. What happened was their math was incorrect. It's a curable piece of the puzzle. Once we corrected their math, that was what the bid came out to be. We felt it wasn't proper to reject the bid. It was done, so it wasn't improper. It was just incorrect. So we kept the bid in just to show that we did have the process in place.
The $82 million was incorrect?
It was incorrect.
Okay. So it's really $500,000 is the cost?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I feel better now. I thought we were going to spend $82 million despite the fact that it was only worth
it. Well, we were getting a heck of a deal, is what it was.
Okay, so you're trying to clean up the process.
We did have a discussion with the vendor, and they do understand the process better now, so we were hopeful. I believe they might actually begin in our words soon.
Very good. So it wasn't like a rounding error. I mean, I was just...
No.
All right. Any other questions on the transportation agenda? Okay, is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. In spite of Mr. Forrest, we're grilling. We still got you. We're going to move on to the Department of General Services agenda.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Ellington Churchill, Secretary for General Services. The department has 9 items on our agenda, including 1 hand carry. We are withdrawing item 1, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you have at this time.
Any questions on DGS?
Just one question. I understand that hand-carried one has to be on this agenda because of timing of obtaining a bank
finance.
Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. And I have Kathy Enzer, head of grant, if we need any more additional information.
We heard from Ms. Enzer, and I appreciate it. I just think it should be on the record that we're not slipping into having a lot of hand-carried items for reasons that are not absolutely critical. I know that the comptroller has spoken often about not being pressed to have to make a decision because of the timing that the agency chose to bring the item. And just want to make it clear, there are times when this has to be done, and I gather this is one of them.
Kathy Enzer, Department of General Services. Good morning. I have Mr. Ian Kennedy from the Downtown Columbia Arts Association, and the loan that they are looking to close by the end of the month is quite involved, has many moving parts, and I think he could probably explain a little bit better about why we needed to bring it to this.
Yeah, sure. First, just to your statement, I understand what you're saying. And when this item came in front of me and we reviewed the issue, we thought, in weighing the balance, it was appropriate to ask for the board's review of this item. But we understand and we will endeavor not to, to bring hand-carry items as a policy for DGS.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're having
I was just saying we understand and we try whenever possible not to bring hand carry items to the boards for approval.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion on DGS?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0 on DGS. Now that concludes our schedule, but we're going to have Mr. Ports bring up a discussion of item 8, which we took off the agenda earlier, but there's been some late developments since that from the legislature and our attorneys, and so I think we can now discuss this item.
So we're going to withdraw our withdrawal.
And, we're withdrawing the withdrawal.
And move item 8 forward. Governor, as you mentioned, this is probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, quite frankly, for the port. I spoke to Jim White, and he
Mr. White is right in there in the back of the room. If
yep.
he wants to
yep.
yeah, address us, if we don't.
Sure.
You.
He had mentioned that this is the first time that any administration has tried to purchase a property to enhance the footprint of the port. You know, with all the extra containers that we're seeing, with the records that we're breaking, this is essential. And with that, I'll let Jim White explain anything else he would like to about this item.
Well, you know, Mr. White, thank you for joining us, and I'm sorry for the confusion. Obviously, there was some things that we had to take care of at the legislature. We have two letters in front of us signed by the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee and Senator Casemeyer from the Senate in support of this. The three of us are, I believe, in support of the motion. It's incredible for job creation and the expansion of the port, but we had a technicality that we had not gotten approval. You didn't take it through the proper process, and now it's been fixed. So I'm not sure how much we want to hear about it, but if you'd like to give us a little rundown of the big picture, we'd love to hear it. We know a lot about it, but maybe some of the folks here would like to hear it.
Well, the thank you for allowing us to walk that on, first of all. This is very important to the port. When we were getting ready for the expansion of locks in the Panama Canal to get the bigger ships through, we were anticipating a 2% increase over our historic 3 or 4%. And since the canal is open in July of 2016, where the port has actually grown at 9%, and in December, we had our biggest month ever. We grew 22% in December alone. And that is causing us some difficulty in servicing the trucks as timely as we'd like to. We are the most efficient port in the United States. We want to remain the most efficient port in the United States, and this property will allow us to do that.
Well, we want to thank you and your team for an incredible job at the port. We couldn't be more proud of the progress and record-breaking success, and we think this is going to help us continue to create more jobs and more revenue for the state. And I don't know if my colleagues have any comments they'd like to.
I think this is a great project, and I think you and your team have done a wonderful job at the port, and I just want to congratulate you on an outstanding year. And I understand thus far in 2017 we're ahead of where we were. It's a terrific thing and great future. I appreciate the department understanding that there was a provision in the law regarding consultation, and It has now taken place, and we do have in writing the support of the committees in the legislature, and I think we are all going forward with great hopes for this project over the coming years, thousands of jobs, and really making this the greatest port on the East Coast.
Absolutely. And I want to thank the treasurer for discovering the technicality glitch and bringing it to the attention. I guess the AG in your office didn't know that there was a process that had to go through with the legislature. And as soon as she notified us of it, I know you guys ran around and the legislature was very cooperative. And I've never seen such quick action. They in like 10 minutes, this House and the Senate agreed to with us on moving forward. And I wish we could do that with our other 31 initiatives, but I'm very pleased that we got this one done. So would you be willing to help us out with the rest of our legislature? But thank you very much, Mr. White. Appreciate it. So on this item, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and don't forget the Taxpayer Protection Act.
Yes.
When you in your little portfolios. But
and the cops bill.
Yeah, seriously, I'd like to refresh my recollection the last time we missed an opportunity to buy a huge, much-desired piece of property over it. I vaguely remember some time ago. We dragged our feet and we lost the opportunity to purchase what was a game-changing property.
Your memory is correct. It was about 12 years ago. And this property is actually going to cost the state about $55 million for our portion of it. But it's not the whole portion. The total acreage there is 103. We're going to end up with about 70, which is terrific. It will give us like six more years of growth at Seeger without any more dredging, no more demand on containment capacity. So it's terrific. But we are having to pay more. 12 years ago, we could have bought the property for about $36 million. So time, things appreciate. It's still a terrific buy for us.
And I'd just like to comment for the folks that are listening in. The reason we have the best, one of, if not the best port in the country, as the treasurer noted, is because we have...
One of the best.
Well, I'm sure that'll be a challenge. But the reason for our success, even though we're 24 hours inland from the East Coast ports, my understanding is because we have available land that we can provide these shipping companies with space to put their, big roll-on, roll-off tractors and cars, et cetera. And the other East Coast ports that we compete with are much more landlocked as far as their space. So this acquisition is something that really... is right in our sweet spot as far as the state's strength, the port strength.
That is true, but because of the success that we've had, we are restricted on land. We are now in a position where we need additional land to grow the jobs and economic impact, which we're committed to.
Excellent.
And this will help us.
One thing I'd like to just, Mr. Porter, you know this yet, but in addition to talking with our senators and congressmen about health care. We also talked about our priority transportation projects at this meeting in great length. And at the National Governors Association this Friday, I'm meeting with Secretary Chao, Transportation Secretary, to talk about getting the federal help to get double stacked on the Howard Street Tunnel. And if we can get that done, you're going to be even busier and need more land.
As you said, Governor, we're open for business.
Open for business. All right. Thank you very much. So any other questions?
Move approval.
Could I just say, in case there are folks here who don't know this, that the comptroller, before he was comptroller, was the leader in transportation funding in the state legislature, chairman of the Appropriations Subcommittee on Transportation, and knows this firsthand and has always been a supporter of the port and the department and our projects. I will give them that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
May I comment on that?
Sure.
May I comment on that?
As long as you don't say anything nice, but no.
Peter Francho is the sole reason why we're the number one port in the country for imported, exported forest products. Without his help when he was chairman of the Transportation Committee, we would not have gotten the money to rehabilitate and build new warehouses. So thank you, Controller Francho.
Totally undeserved, but thank you.
Yeah. Very nice.
You know, it's
and
right
you already made the motion and voted for it.
Yeah.
So didn't have to be buttered
thank
up.
You. It's very kind of you to say that. Madam Treasurer, thank you for noting that. And I say, you know, it is undeserved, but I'm a big fan of the port and its management.
And I would like to, again, just thank Chairman Casemeyer and Chairman McIntyre for moving as quickly as they did on this item. And thanks for getting it all straightened up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Motion carries 3-0.
Thank you.
Board of Public Works is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Public service announcement, next meeting 2 weeks from now, March 8th, is in the Treasury building to make bond sales. So come to the Treasury building in 2 weeks.
Great. Thank you.
This is the opportunity.
Did you say that there would be a possibility to have other further conversation after the meeting is over?